It's so, so wonderful to meet you once again. Last week, we started looking at Ephesians chapter 1. And the theme for us is new thinking, new possibilities. New thinking, new possibilities. Thank you. And today we're going to look at the second part of it. Last week we started verses 1 to 14. If you've got your Bible with you, please turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through to 23, and we'll read it together. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen. Amen. Can I hear amen from you?
Amen.
Thank you. We thank the Lord for Jesus Christ. Now the Apostle Paul, in his dialogue, in his writing to the church in Ephesus, he's actually addressing us to begin to have a new thinking because there are new possibilities. If we begin to think differently, we will see the new possibilities that God has given us. Of course, these things have been there all the time. But it says have a new way of thinking. And the first thing that we want to look at today is that we want to praise God with passion. We want to praise God with passion. You'll be asking us, why do we have to do that? Whether in your home, you have to praise God with passion. When you come to church, you have to praise God with passion. Whether you have live music or not, you have your voice to praise God. You have your hands to praise God. You have your whole being to praise God. We have to praise God with passion. And why did they say that? Let's look at what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 150, Psalm 150, which is the last psalm of the longest book in the Bible. Psalm 150. If you've got it, turn with me and we read together. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipes. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is praising God with passion. It says, whether you are, wherever you are, whether you are in his sanctuary or not, praise him. Praise God. Praise him in the mighty heavens. Praise him because of his act of power. God is powerful. And he says, praise him, because if you begin to see that God is mighty in power, you begin to praise him. You see, most of us, we try to get closer to people with power and authority, don't we? We try to be friends of our managers and line managers and directors. Simply because we want influence, don't we? He said, praise God for his mighty power. His act of power. His surpassing greatness. He's bigger than everybody. Praise him with sounding of trumpet. I'm a believer sometimes in noise when it comes to praising God. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
You know why? Because it's in the Bible. Praise God with harps and lyre, with those guitars and the things that need to come. Praise God with tambourines and with dancing. Sometimes we are just too stiff in this church. We are too unemotional. We are too almost not human. Serious. I can challenge anybody about the fact that whichever country you come from, whichever race or tribe, you are emotional. You can dance, you can raise up your hand, you go to our stadiums on Saturdays and Sundays, you hear, even go to the boxing ring, you can hear it, go to the park, everywhere, we praise God. And yet when we come to church, our hands are beside us. And we can't lift it up to praise God. We can't dance. It's wrong. It's not Baptist, but God is not a Baptist for God's sake. He's not Baptist. Can you hear that? Neither is he Pentecostal. Please get it. Don't get it wrong. God is God. The psalmist has this praise with cymbals. Resounding cymbals. Hear that. Crash of cymbals in some language. And if there's some breath in you, praise him. Where am I saying this? This is a new way of thinking. That when you get up in the morning, begin to praise the Lord. Because Paul in his writing, he said, I thank God, I praise God for this reason. I thank God for this reason. And the reason of his exhortation is this, that God has blessed us in heavenly places with all spiritual blessings. That means every blessing that God has or comes from God is for you and me to take. Amen? It's for you and me to take. And because from the foundations of this world, he has chosen us in Christ to live a holy life and be blameless, because he knew that Christ would come and die on the cross and give us the privilege to walk as people who have never sinned before God. Our righteousness coming through Jesus Christ, we have to praise him. Because he forgives us our sins, we have to praise him. Because he's called us to understand his mysteries, the things that are unseen, not understood by people, we have to praise him. Because God has chosen that the things that happens in the heavens will be happen here on this earth. For that reason, we have to praise him. God has chosen to actually showcase us to the world. Let me explain that. God has chosen to showcase us to the world. That means wherever you, the sole of your feet will tread, God has made sure that you will be seen and that you will be one among equals, an exceptional among equals. God has chosen that if nobody can be seen, you can be seen. So there should not be a time to think, I am nobody. Nobody loves me. I am not this. I'm not that. You know what? God sees you as somebody that he wants the world to see. So if you don't see yourself, God says, I have opened the eyes of the people around you to see who you are. So God has chosen to showcase us before the people that we meet. Whether we meet them on the street, on the bus or something, you'll be sitting down and be thinking, nobody sees me, nobody understands me, nobody knows what I'm going through. But you know what? God is showcasing you to these people. And that is a new thinking. And the moment you begin to see yourself that way, that God has chosen to showcase you before people, before this world, then you begin to think differently. And you begin to see how special you are. Begin to see how privileged you are. Begin to see where God has placed you. So for that reason, Paul is encouraging us that we should praise God. When you come to that kind of mindset, you begin to thank God for who you are. Instead of, you know what, God? Now I know that I'm not as ugly as I looked. But I think now I look beautiful. I'm just giving a very bad example. But God, I now know that my situation is not as bad as it seems. But God, you have chosen to do something. For this reason, verse 15 says, for this reason, praise God. Hallelujah. For what reason? For God's blessings upon you. For what God has made you to be. Begin to praise God. For this reason, praise God. Let your life be a life of thanksgiving, a life of prayer before Him. Do not stop giving thanks and prayer. Make it a lifestyle. You know why? Because someone in the heavens is praying for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, what privilege. The other time somebody said, oh, you know what, Pastor, I could feel your prayer this week because we met in the house group. And we started praying for each other. We said, this week, try and pray for about 2 minutes, 3 minutes for somebody. And let God do something in their life. And one person at least told me, look, I thought I could feel your prayer, not for who I am, but for the fact that I said I will pray. And God did it. Do you know what I mean? So, someone in the heavenly realms is praying for you. God and Paul, Apostle Paul wrote again in Romans chapter 8 verse 34 that you know something, nothing can separate us from the love of God because Jesus Christ himself has entered the heavens and he ever lives to what? To make intercession for you. He is praying for his own. He's praying for his people. So whatever you think of yourself, God is praying for you. So today begin to have that reality that Jesus Christ is praying for you. He is praying for you. He is interceding for you. As you begin to open your mouth and say, God, help me. Jesus Christ is standing before God and say, God, you know what? Did you hear that man praying? That helped him. I am your beloved son. I am the one who's gone down to fight on their behalf. I'm the one who's gone to identify with them. So I feel the way they feel. And therefore, this prayer, I want you to hear it. And I want you to understand it. And I want you to give them a response. Somebody is praying for you. Hallelujah. Somebody is praying for you. Paul is saying that, I have not ceased praying for you since I heard of your faith. Since I heard that you have believed God. Since I heard that you have made up your mind to think differently for different possibilities. I haven't stopped praying for you because you are doing the right things. I haven't stopped praying for you. I haven't stopped praying for you. And my prayer is that you are going to be in that place that God will grant you wisdom and revelation, or wisdom and understanding, so that you begin to walk in revelation. Hallelujah. I am praying for wisdom for you. I'm praying for understanding for you. I'm praying that you walk in wisdom and revelation. That means when you walk, you will know what to do. Given any situation, you will know how to act. You know how to speak. Sometimes we do not do that as often. Sometimes we lack wisdom. Sometimes I lack wisdom. Do you lack wisdom? The Bible said, if you lack wisdom, ask God. And Paul's prayer for us is that we should know that God wants us to walk in wisdom. He wants us to walk in revelation. So be a person, a man, a woman who walk in the revelation of God. Are you following? Begin to pray that your dreams will be turned into revelations. Begin to pray that your visions will be turned into revelations. Begin to pray that when you begin to speak to people and you are conversing with people, you begin to hear things that God is speaking to you. So you can begin to hear revelation, hear their heartbeat. What is going on? One of the things I've learned over the years is that sometimes when people speak, just give them eye contact. And when you give them eye contact, you sense their heartbeat. You hear the things that they haven't even said, that they need to be addressed, because God will give you revelation. Are you following? Did I hear yes from you? Thank you, half of you. So we're praying that God is saying we should walk in revelation. So if you are a believer, if you trust God, and if you are walking after Jesus, and if you are following him, and you are not walking in revelation, you are denying yourself of what God has put in place for you to walk in. We have to walk in revelation. If you are a believer, if you are a child of God, and you are not walking in wisdom, and you behave carelessly, and you don't learn your lessons, and you don't learn from past mistakes, and you're repeating them over and over again, you are not wise. And in that case, you are denying yourself of wisdom. Praise God. We want to live a life of intercession for the spirit of wisdom. Sometimes some of us, we have to pray for other people around us, that God will grant them wisdom in every situation. During the time that you are drinking your teas and coffee, somebody may share something with you, and you need wisdom and revelation to respond back. Or in some cases, you may have nothing, but you can go home and pray for wisdom and revelation for that person, that God will actually open his or her eyes to see what God wants him or her to do in that situation. But if God speaks to you, act on it. Paul said, I pray that your spirit, your heart, God will open and enlighten you. So we need to see the new possibilities that Paul is talking about. He said, for this reason, for what God has made us to be in Christ, for the reason that what it is for Jesus Christ, it is the same for you. What it was for Adam is the same for you. If that is the case, and that God put all those things before he brought Adam into the equation, then God has put everything in place before bringing us into the equation. And for that reason, we have to praise God. But for that reason, we want our hearts and our minds to be enlightened so that we can see the hope of his calling. We want to see the hope of his calling. New thinking to set our minds on things above. We have to begin not only to see the problem that is in front of us, not only to see the mountain that is coming and the wave that is rushing upon us, but we have to begin to see what God can do. In Job, he said, who is he that sets the boundaries of the earth and told the sea, you can only come thus far? Isaiah 44, we said that now, God said that beside me there's nobody. Read from verse 6, that I put the foundations and the boundaries of this earth in this place. And I decide what can happen and what cannot happen. And if there is anyone who is like this God, let him speak up. And he replies by saying, there is none. Hallelujah. There is none. Folks, there is none. We have this God. So let us have this new thinking that there are new possibilities. That God can say, you can come thus far. I don't know what pressure is coming over you. I don't know what storm is eating you up. I don't know what fire is come so close to your door. But God is saying, you can come thus far. And it's for us to say, you can come thus far. You've come far enough. Too close for my liking. And that is exactly how far you can come. You can't come no more. That is what Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is saying to us. We have to have this new thinking of new possibilities. We have to set our minds on the things above. And when you read Colossians chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 2, you say that set your mind on things above. That means begin to set your mind on the possibilities of God, not on the things of this earth, your impossibilities. Begin to set your mind on the possibilities of God and not your impossibilities. Are you following? You see, you look at something thinking, this is not possible with me. I can't do this. This is impossible. This will not change. But the apostle is saying that begin to set your mind in the possibilities of God. What God can do. And the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. With him, nothing is impossible. So if you set your mind that way, then you begin to look at the situation. You know what? He said, know what? I'm looking at you. It sounds impossible to me, but with my God, it is possible. And I'm going to depend upon what my God says, not what I say, not what I see. And therefore, it's going to be possible. Hallelujah. Set your mind on the things above. His promises are your right, so call them these into being. I like that. His promises are your right. The hope of his calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. You see, we've learned that whatever inheritance that God gave to Jesus Christ is our inheritance too, because he chose us from the foundations of this earth to be in him. And he chose us to adopt us as sons. So if he adopted us as sons and he has some inheritance or he has some property or he has some wealth or he has some things that he can pass on, then if you're a son, if he can pass it on to Jesus and we are also the sons of God, he will not leave us without. Would he? No. That means whatever he will pass on to Jesus, he will pass it on to us too. So begin to see yourself in that light. What God is doing and what God has done with our Lord Jesus Christ, he will do it with you. The hope of his calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. People who have been made holy not because they are so righteous, but because Jesus Christ is a holy man and therefore through his blood he has made us holy. Today we've taken communion. Literally we are saying to God, you know what? We just get it wrong. But we are doing this as often as we do to remember that you shed this blood to wash us and to make us whole and to make us new. And therefore today I take this wine, and as I take it to wash away my sins. Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 26 that it is for the forgiveness of sins. So I wash myself and I renew my relationship. I renew a new agreement. I redefine that relationship and I set myself. I reset that button. When you reset something, that means you go back to start from where it's supposed to be, isn't it? So I want to reset that button of relationship with God. So his promises are your right, so walk in them. You see, his glorious inheritance are the promises of God that he gives to believers. And if he gives to believers and we inherit it, that means we have a right to it. It's our right. And therefore we begin to walk in them. I will hesitate to say claim them. It's your right, folks. If something is your right, you choose to opt in or opt out, isn't it? If you have an inheritance, you can choose to say, look, you know what? I disown you, Dad. I disown you, Mom. I don't want nothing from you. They can't stop you. But you can choose to say, I want it. So I will do what is right. And when I do what is right, I know that you definitely make sure that I'm in your will. Does that make sense? Yes. Exactly. But if you do what is wrong, though you have those inheritance, passing it on will be a little bit difficult, won't it? Well, if it is with me, it will be very difficult, but God is not like me. But what we're trying to say is that if we do what is right, his inheritance, it is our right, and we will walk in them. And that is exactly what God is saying here. And this bit I like. God has given us authority with a backing. God has given us authority with a backing. That his incomparable great power for us, or in some translations, his incomparable great power towards us who believe. I pray that the spirit of your understanding, the eye of your understanding, your heart and minds will be open to see how incomparable. That means you cannot comprehend it. You cannot compare it to any other power. How great that power is that I have given you, that is yours, towards you. That is authority. Yes? If someone delegates power to you, that is authority. And that means you can act in the name of that person. And it has the full force of that person, even though you are not that person. Let me give you a simple example. We love please men in this country and please women, don't we? Well, if you don't love them, that's a different story. But we love them. Well, I love them because each time I get into trouble, I go and give a puppy face and try to be nice, and they let me off. Yeah, they're human beings, you know. But anyway, let me not digress. Now, if I'm on the road and I'm driving, I'm following somebody, and I honk, well, assuming you're not in Africa or the Caribbean, right? And I honk. And I honk behind the car that I'm following. They look at it and they look at my registration of my car. They'd be thinking, what's the matter with you? They would just ignore me. Now, let somebody, whether the car is marked or unmarked, and begin to put the siren and the blue flashes coming, you soon see that they pull aside and they want to pay attention. Isn't that right? Yeah. Right. And supposing this same person who was driving that vehicle, this time he didn't have those blue sirens on, he didn't have no uniform on, just him or her, and start to honk and say, stop, stop, and I stop. And said, I'm arresting you for speeding. I'll be looking at them thinking, what's your problem? I'll just drive off and leave him there or her there. But then if the person is wearing the uniform, or if I see that the person has the badge and show it to me, I will not dare. The same person. What's the difference? Exactly. Either the badge or the car or the uniform. That is authority. Why didn't I run away? It was just probably some of them, I'm even taller than them, I could run away. But I didn't, simply because the full force of the nation is behind that person, that one person. So on the road, when you come and the person raises up his hand this way, you stop, wouldn't you? Let me have Declan on the road raising up his hand this way. I'm thinking, what does he want? Move away before I knock you off. You see, so the hand stops you. And that is authority. The person is coming with delegated power, authority. And therefore, we are saying that God has given us authority with a backing. The full force of the heavenlies behind us. Hallelujah. The full force of the Godhead is behind us. God has given us this authority, and he's ready to back us up. So somehow along the line, sometimes you have to look at some situations and you have to raise up your hand to it. And he said that you are not going to get me in Jesus' name. I reverse the situation, because the policeman can raise up, or policeman can raise up his hand or her hand and tell you that divert or park your car or don't come that far, and you stop. And we should be able to do that. God is saying, I want you to understand this, that I've opened your eyes. I want your eyes to be open so that you can come and comprehend. You can come and accept and know how God has made you with authority, with his backing. So we can roll back sickness. We can roll back problems. We can roll back division. We can roll back things that is not right for our conducive and well-being and enjoyment of life. We can roll them back. But that's how God made us. In Genesis 1, it calls it, I've given you authority and dominion. Same thing. That God created Adam with, same thing. Have dominion. That means begin to get to a point that dominion means you have authority overall. No challenger. So why aren't we using that? Why are we living in misery? Why are we not praying for breakthrough? Why aren't we speaking boldly to bring into being that which is not? Why are we staring defeat in the face and thinking it's okay? It is not okay. Look at somebody and say, defeat is not okay. Hallelujah. And say that I have authority from God to reverse defeat into victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Believe that. You have authority to reverse defeat into victory. Anything defeating you, remember that you have authority to reverse them. Anything that is bothering you that you don't like, you have authority to reverse them. See, sometimes I pray, and I don't get breakthrough. But when I begin to take the word of God and speak it at situations turn around. It gives me some confidence, because it's very easy for you to lose confidence in life. When you come under pressure, it's very, very easy to lose confidence. And to have that confidence back, not in yourself, well, to some extent, but in the Lord that who has backed you up with authority, given the authority to back you up with his power, you have to begin to reverse things. So please remember what he keep on saying. He says that, look, I want you to know that I'm going to back you up with a bigger power. And I want you to imagine it. And this power comes through the authority that I've given you. Authority in civil affairs, authority in political affairs, not necessarily a politician, but you can use the word influence. In economic affairs, in spiritual authority too. So I want you to use it. That's Paul's prayer. So look, you have all these things. You have power in the civic realm. You have power in the political realm, influential realm, economic and spiritual authority. Why aren't you using it? Why are you staring defeat in this face? You're looking at verse 19. That is what he's saying. And this power or this authority that I've given you is the same as the resurrection power. Hallelujah. It's the same as resurrection power. It's the same as resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Because that power is mighty in strength. And the same power that has been released on you. Death could not hold Jesus Christ. So death should not be able to hold you. The authorities could not prevent him from resurrecting from the grave. They melted like candle wax. They could not prevent him from rising from the grave. So why should you be prevented from achieving what God has made you to be? Why should you be prevented from having the promotion that you are due? Hey, Hannah, God bless you for being promoted. You are living in God's righteousness, because that's what God says. You see, if you work in a workplace for so many years and you haven't been promoted and you are qualified, you work so hard and everything, there's something wrong there. See, first, check your attitude at the door. And secondly, ask yourself, now I have to exercise spiritual authority here. Don't go and tell your manager that I'm exercising spiritual authority. They will send you out of the door. You have to exercise spiritual authority. Go on your knees and say, God, you know what? You give me that authority. Something is blocking me. If the same power that resurrected Jesus Christ, where they put a huge stone, tombstone, to block it, and that couldn't hold Jesus Christ back, that shouldn't also be able to hold you back. Hallelujah. It shouldn't be able to hold you back. You should be able to break out, just like Jesus Christ broke out from the tomb. You should be able to break out anything that is blocking you. It could well be that somehow along the line, you need more money, more bonuses. They give the people at the top big bonuses. When it comes to you, it's not that big. First, check your attitude at the door, then have some conversations. Don't go and say, hello, director, I know you guys are having big bonuses and big share options. So I'm due to for some. They will show you out of the door. Don't go and say things like that at all. But have conversation with your line manager and thinking, I've hit the top of my spinal point. I can't go back up anymore. And if I don't get 2% or 2.5 increase in a year, I don't get any more money. And my electricity bill is going up 7%. My water bill 10% on all those things. So you are literally getting less money. Argue your case out. But have spiritual authority in your bedroom before you go. Have spiritual authority. That I want to take authority to break through. I want to break out. History could not stop Jesus Christ. His resurrection is known by everybody. So history will bear you out that you have this authority when you use it. If you do not use it, you have no history to go back to. Because once upon a time, you can say, you know what? 5 years ago, I was maybe finance assistant. 5 years on, maybe I'm a team leader or the manager or the finance manager. Two big differences. Does that make sense? You see, so somehow along the line, I challenge you, don't accept where you are as normal. Sometimes we get too, comfortable. I know a friend of mine, he went to the same college as I went. He became an accountant, and for years, all that he'll be doing is cleaning offices and driving taxis, minicabs. And I look at him, I'm thinking, what's your problem? And so I can't get a job. And yet he was a Christian too. And I said, where is your authority? Begin to exercise the authority on your knees. If you lack knowledge, ask God. And I showed him things that he could do, even as a self-employed person. And for years now, he's left that behind him. Now, he has his own business that he works for professional people, for money. Now, he's bought his own house. Amazingly, he's still living in his flat. But he's getting some money for the house that he's bought. So I'm just saying that, look, sometime, somehow, you have to make sure that history can bear you out, that God has given you authority. Don't stay where you are and think that is the same thing. And if you continue doing that, you are not being a witness to the word of God, what Paul is saying here. Let history bear you out. What God is doing for you is being played out in the heavenly realms. Whatever God is doing for you is being played in the heavenly realms. Far above all rules and authority, power and dominion, every name that is invoked, present and to come, God is doing that. If you turn your Bible with me to Colossians chapter 3, we will look at verse 1 and verse 3. It says this, that since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Effectively, what he's saying is that if Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, then you are sitting at a place of favor. And therefore, what God is doing in your life in the heavens is being played over there. Are you getting this? You see, whatever is happening in your life is happening in the heavens. And if it's happening in the heavens, you want to look to the heavens and ask God, your kingdom come, oh God, let your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Because this thing that I'm looking at is being played out in heaven. And therefore, it's got to be here on earth. I need to see it. I need to walk in it. It's got to be visible for me. It's got to be reality for me. It's got to be applicable for me. In Jesus' name. Everything that happens, we need to see with new possibilities. Everything is placed under his feet. Everything is placed under Jesus' feet. In Hebrews 1, 3, 4, and 13, we read this, that Jesus Christ is the radiance of the Father. He's superior than angels. His name is mightier than all. Therefore, begin to use the authority in his name and see what will happen. See, the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through to 11, that as a result of he humbling himself, God has given him a name far above principalities and powers and dominion. At the mention of the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow. So somehow along that, God has placed everything under Christ's feet. And for that reason, use the name of Jesus Christ, because you don't have so much absolute authority, but Jesus Christ has. And if you introduce the name of Jesus Christ into the equation, you will see the outcome of what God will do. So use the name of Jesus. That is why when we pray, we said, in the name of Jesus Christ, or through Christ our Lord, or for Christ's sake, not in a swear way, but because of Jesus Christ. So use that name. You have that name. You've been given that name for you to use. So please use it. He is superior than angels. He's bigger than anything that you can think about. God has appointed Christ to be the head of everything for the church. Now he's coming to you as a body, not just as individuals. God has appointed Jesus Christ to be the head of the church, which is his body. Jesus is the author of salvation and captain of our faith. Invite him into all that the church will do and plan. Put him first for his glory and you can't lose. Put him first for his glory and you can't lose. Because sometimes we presuppose, we assume that things are going to happen. We do things and we expect things to happen. We have to call him and say, Jesus Christ, I want you to lead this project for me. Today we heard about building project. Next week, God willing, we'll be able to tell you how much we have in the kitty concerning what we want. We want to raise £325,000. Because we've already had £25,000, precisely 27, and we want to raise more. Next year, by this time, we want to see this become a reality. We don't want to doubt it, and we will not relent, we will not give it in. We want to see it. And I want to plead with you, trust God, that God will put some money in your pocket and invest some in his kingdom, and you invest for a return. You see, when you invest and there's no return, your business go bust. That is why a lot of businesses are still alive, simply because they are having good returns. Those who don't have good returns, they go bust. So if you are not investing, you will not have a return. So begin to invest in this project. We believe it's a good thing. We want our mothers, our elderly people, our young nursing mothers, we want them all, able and disabled people, to come in and are able to do that. I've received a note from the architect, some information when I came, that they've submitted a plan to the Greenwich Council for approval. They sent copies to the Baptist, London Baptist Property Board, and I was notified yesterday, and obviously we need approval. Let us not assume that approval is going to come. We've linked with some of our neighbors, as Benham Triangle and the users of this building, they all say, yeah, go for it. We support you. But we need the support from our neighbors too. We don't want them to say no. Someone will say, but why would anyone say no to a public place just to come in with proper access? Why would anyone say no? You know what? They could say no. For 10 years, we've relentlessly been hounded by our community that we are a noisy church. Yeah, you will laugh. They haven't been anywhere yet. For 10 years, time and time again, sometimes they have some help from friendly fire. 10 years. I have letters upon letters upon letters. Sometimes you're answering this and you're thinking, you know what? And sometimes their real reason comes true. Some says we don't want a church in our community because the value of our property will go down. That's what some people say. Some people say we don't want a church in our community because the people that come here, they look alike, not like us. And I'm determined, I'm resolved not to give in to this. And we are going to have that access. This church has been here from 1842. 143 years. 1872, apologies. 143 years. And we just want to be here to worship God and to do good. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. So for that reason, we are going to build these rams. So please pray that nothing will hold it. Put Jesus Christ and appoint him as to be the head of everything. So this plan and application will go through in Jesus' name. Amen. So please pray something, whatever you do. I'm expecting it to come through in the next probably couple of weeks. So pray that at the place, whatever, opposition will be set aside. Use the name of Jesus. Whatever reservation, because I know their views are not right. Their purposes are not right. And we are not going to allow that to cripple the children of God. These are tombs that they want to entomb us in. The same power that set Jesus Christ free has set us free. So let's break through that. Yes? In some way, it has frustrated this church for years. Yes? Because sometimes just as the church is just taking off, then a letter comes and it just sinks my heart, and for weeks I cannot get off my knees with the frustration and the pain. But we thank God for Jesus. Amen. And finally, when Jesus is introduced into the situation, He fills it with his power and presence. Amen? If you introduce Jesus Christ into the situation, the fullness of him which fills everything in every way, when you introduce Jesus into every situation, he fills it with his power and his presence in every way. The only outcome will be supernatural manifestation, and that is called miracles. If you want miracles in your life, introduce Jesus Christ into the situation. Are you with me? Introduce Jesus Christ into the situation. I'll conclude by saying, you know what? Paul shared a verse with us in Romans 12:2. We have to have transformed minds and hearts towards the new reality of Christian living. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. Shall we rise to